Yeah, amen.
That's what I pray every day.
All right, we're on the doctrine of man. I'm on page number 13 on man's original duties and responsibilities. So we're going way back to when men were cavemen, right?
No.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, when God started off with man, he was at the pinnacle. We've gone down. I'll tell you this. I was in a missions conference. And there was a man about this tall. It was a two-dimensional picture, photograph of a man put on a board, so it was able to stand up. And he was an Aborigine from Australia, and he was about just a little over a meter. And this little guy, tight curly hair, dark skin, huge bone through the nose, huge holes in the ears. Piercings all over his body, tiniest of a loincloth, standing there with a spear. And the missionary said something who's actually witnessing to him, giving the gospel and seeing him saved, had a church out in the Aboriginals in Australia. He said this, you know, when I'm dealing with these people, the world calls them primitive people. Did you ever hear that? These primitives. He said, you know what I found out? These are the end result of society. Men weren't always like this. Men were tall. Men were strong. Men wore clothes. It's the further away you get from God, the less clothes you have and the more piercings you have, the more wives you have. And so he says, when you're looking at this man here, it's just a two-dimensional representation of him. You're looking at the end of civilization, not early civilization, which is tremendous revelation. So when they talk about these countries, like in India, they have the islands there that where they say no white man has ever visited and stuff. Well, you're not looking at primitive society. You're looking at people who 2,000 years ago were great people. They were conquerors. And now they're living on an island eating each other. That's the end of society. So when we look at mankind, we got to learn how we started off and look at where we're at and go, boy, we have not come a long way. We've gone the wrong direction.
We call them off critters.
Off critters?
You know, people go off the mountains and they shack up the mountains. And
oh, yeah?
You know, these guys that go off and hide upstairs with 10,000 guns and cannons.
Oh, those are called preppers.
In America. Go off the grid.
Off gritters. I got what you. Yes, yes. Yeah, and you know, sometimes I wish I could do it. Goodness, this world is not my home. All right, so why did God create man? Before giving the various reasons, it should be strongly stated that God did not make man because he was lonely. That's your fill-in. God wasn't sitting there twiddling his thumbs saying, you know, I'm bored. I wish I had somebody to talk to. I wish somebody loved me. I wish I could just love somebody. No, that's kind of stupid, because long before he created angels or man, God the Father was having blessed fellowship with his beloved Son. Listen to John chapter 17. Jesus prays and says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So God already was quite happily content with just himself. Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now the Lord possessed me. Listen to Proverbs chapter 8. God speaks of the Trinity and speaks of one part of it as the wisdom of God. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was already there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was already by him, as one brought up with him, as if he grew up with God, and you can't grow up with God because God's eternal. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So was God lonely before? No, he already was having a great time. So why did God make man? Well, let's go to Revelation 4:11, see if we can fill in this word, Romeo. Revelation 4:11, if you'll read that. It's a wonderful verse. Yes, please.
You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you will they exist and were created.
All right, now read that last part again. There's a key word missing.
By your will they exist and were created.
All right, now I'm going to tell you, this is why we use the King James Bible.
Yeah,
because listen to this, it says, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So it's just, it was for God's pleasure. It just was fun to God to make us. It wasn't like he needed anything.
Yeah.
It was for his pleasure. So here's a great truth. I want God to give me pleasure, but God created me to bring him pleasure, which is backwards for us. So for thy pleasure is your fill in there.
First one is he was, is it, Pastor?
Say again?
He
was lonely.
He was lonely long before, is it?
Yes, just lonely. Long before he created angel man, God the Father was already in blessed fellowship with his beloved Son. So he did not make man because he was lonely.
Yeah.
Right?
So the word both you were lonely.
Yes. He says we already were glorious. Sorry? Not because he was bored, not because he was lonely. Listen, I got married because I was lonely. I'm glad to have kids because I like grandkids. But God didn't need anything. He didn't need to do anything to sort of fill up his time or to make him happy or to take away loneliness. No, God was already perfect. So when he added man, he brought sorrow. That's the reality of it. Okay. Let's keep going. So man, then, was created to demonstrate the glory of God and to fellowship with God, with the God of glory. Upon man's creation, he is given the following duties and responsibilities. A, originally, God created man to assume the headship over all nature. The headship. What do you think that means, Edward? Headship. This is for A.
Yeah. To rule over.
Good. To rule over. So, he's the ruler. Okay? He has the oversight. And that does imply no abuse of the world. We're not supposed to abuse this world. I mean, listen. If you have a proper... mindset and you put people in charge, people will take care of the planet. When you make the governments in charge, people trash it and the government has to clean it up. So, number one, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have, anybody remember the word that would be filled in there? Say again?
Dominion.
Dominion.
Not dominions.
Not dominions. Dominions, yeah. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, does dominion mean destruction? I think it's very foolish for Europe to allow the Spanish to send up their fishing factories and to suck up all of the cod in the North Atlantic. That's not having dominion, that's destruction. So I believe in holding things back. You got to balance things. So dominion means you have a right balance. Number two, the New Testament makes it clear that man was made to eventually assume headship over Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Edward, if you would read Hebrews 2, change the letters there. It shouldn't be, I can't see, I scratched mine out. It should be 6 to 8. Hebrews 2, verses 6 to 8.
Chapter 2.
Yes, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8.
6, 7, 8.
Go ahead.
Yeah, little lower than...
Oh, no, hold on. No, I'm going to let Edward do it. Go ahead, Edward. Okay, when did he do that? Sorry, when did he put man over the works of God's hands? When did God put man over the works of God's hands?
I didn't catch it, Pastor.
Okay. When did God put man over the works of God's hands? Good. All right, so he's going back to creation. He says, you put him in charge of the works of his hands, verse 8.
Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For he put all in subjection under his feet. So he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him.
All right, now here's the truth. Right, comprehend this. Man is already supposed to have dominion over this world. Unfortunately, man turned dominion over to the devil, but we still have some dominion. But our design, we were designed to have everything under our foot, which would imply the entire universe. What God didn't make the world, the universe, just to look at. And I want to blow your minds for a second. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This time I'm going to get Clive to read. And let's see. All right. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want you to start verse 14 there, Clive. I'll tell you when to stop.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire.
Hold, what did he just say in verse 15?
Take careful heed to yourselves.
Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner.
Okay, you saw nothing of form. You saw nothing you could say, that's similar to a duck, that's similar to this or to that. You saw no form. You didn't see me, is what he's saying.
Oh, yes,
okay,
yes.
Good. I want you to see. When he spoke to you out of the fire, you didn't see me. Go ahead. Now, verse 16.
Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image.
Yes.
The similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female.
There you go.
The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flyeth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth.
Hold there. So he lists a lot of things that are on this earth. He says, you didn't see anything that's like anything that's on this earth, so that you would end up making an image like a bird or an animal or an insect. Now, verse 19.
Unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should us be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
So, what does he say in that verse?
He's saying that he's given the heavens to all nations under the heaven.
So, we're worried about scraps of property down here and economies and climate, and that entire universe is meant to be occupied. And he said that in Deuteronomy. Isn't that cool? So there, now it was, they were going to divide up a bit of the promised land, and God says, you have no idea how far the dividing up and the conquering is going to go. All right, not that we're going to conquer other worlds of aliens, but we will go into the universe. So that's why you're filling there. Number two is the entire universe.
The entire universe.
Okay.
What was the first one, Pastor?
The first one was dominion.
Dominion.
Yes. A was headship. Number one was dominion.
No, yet God created man was to
assume headship.
So
headship, right here.
Yeah, I got you.
Headship. Then the second, next one was number one was dominion.
Dominion. Dominion means to destroy. Huh? To rule.
No, to dominion means to rule.
To rule, yeah, the power.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And number two, one day, mankind will run the entire universe when God and man are and heaven. Is there's no more division, there's no more sea dividing God from his creation. Sorry?
Dominion comes from the word like dominate.
Yeah, we use dominate, dominion,
power,
power, dynamite.
Yeah.
Okay, so from all this, it is evident that man's original state was not one of savagery. God designed this for greatness. Instead, there is abundant evidence to show that man has been degraded from a very much higher stage. Both the Bible and science agree in making man the crowning work of God, and that there will be no higher order of beings here on the earth than man. We must not forget that while man, from one side of his nature, is like to the animal creation, yet he is supranatural. He is a being of higher order and more splendid nature. He is in the image and the likeness of God. Animals are not. Man was developed not from the ape, but away from it. He never was anything but potential man. So, and what we were supposed to be. So number three, no single instance has yet been adduced of the transformation of one animal species into another, either by natural or artificial selection. Much less has it ever been demonstrated that the body of the brute, an animal, has ever developed into that of a man. The links that should bind man to the monkey have never been found. Not a single one can be shown. None have been found that stood nearer the monkey than the man of today. So there's not like a progression, like they show these stupid charts where you see man, you see a monkey and he's doing like this, and the next frame has him a little up higher, and the next one's a little higher, and the next one's a little higher. And that is all fairy tales. Those are just in the science books to trick the kids.
You see the meme where it says, many as these, none of these.
And none of these. But we're going to convince you. Give us enough time. Number B, man was to make his headquarters in Eden, and especially care for this beautiful garden paradise. Genesis 2:15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Right above that, right on purpose. Do you know on purpose?
On
purpose. Into is your fill-in. Into, but above that, write on purpose. So when I have my grandkids, and I say, all right, I want you to go into this room here and wait for me, I got them in there for a purpose. So God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden on purpose, by design. So when they were in Eden, they weren't in a desert, and they had to crawl through the desert sand and find water and build, you know, adobe. No, they were in paradise by design. Number C, man was to provide names for every living creature. That's your fill in there on C.
Yes, yeah.
Man was to provide names for every creature. And out of the ground,
he created man for the pleasures of his happiness.
For God's pleasure.
Pleasure.
Yeah. So, and it's just to bring God pleasure.
To get the world organized like.
Yeah. I mean, I eat because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But it's nice when you eat and it's just pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay, like Christmas dinner. Yeah. But everything God does is not because he needs it. It's just because it brings him pleasure.
Happiness for him.
Yes. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, there in Genesis chapter 2, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he, is your fill-in, would call them. That's kind of cute. Be like me, bringing a bunch of animals. Say if I took one of my grandkids, I mean, my kids are all grown up, so I have to use my grandkids now. But say I took one of my grandkids who's never been to a zoo, and I took him to the zoo. I tell you, Clive, you ought to do this. You ought to get you a couple of grandkids in the future, take them to Fulda Wildlife Park and say, without having a storybook, say, you could just take them and say, what do you call that thing? And the kid goes, long neck. What do you call that? Horned nose. What do you call that thing? Funny, jumpy thing. And it would be a pleasure for you to watch what they call these animals. That's what God wanted to see, what Adam would call all these animals. And now, Adam didn't call them funny, jumping things. He called them monkeys or something like that. He had a proper name for them already figured out. Adam was super intelligent. He could classify and say, that's not like that.
You know, it's an interesting thing about that. It's just when you were talking about Adam naming the animals in the ground, or
in the garden.
God formed each one of them individually before him out of the ground. The animals were already created around
that's
the
right.
place.
That's right.
And God just basically made them out of the clay and said, what's this one called?
That's right.
And then made another one. What's this one called?
I think it's beautiful.
Oh, you're a good poet, Adam. So enjoyable.
It was a lot of joy.
You know? Yeah.
If anything.
I think we have been a single.
Indeed. It's really sad that we bring in very little pleasure now.
I know.
But wow, at first we brought great pleasure to God. So it goes on, it says, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that's it, it's settled it. That was the name thereof. They're stuck with it. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found. Uh-oh. What was Adam secretly looking for as God was showing him all of these creatures?
Mate.
He was looking for somebody who was like him. So number D, that brings up the next point. Man was created to love and protect his wife. Love and protect his wife.
Well, the first one pops Adam to see what?
What he, H-E.
See was he.
What
to see he what he would call them.
Oh, call them. Okay, okay. Oh, the names to be given.
Yeah, that's right. He was going to call those animals.
Okay.
So D is man was to love and protect his wife. And we're still commanded there in Ephesians chapter 5 to love his wife. But here, Genesis 2:24 comes along and says, therefore shall a man leave his father's mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That cleave is a choice that he makes, and he makes this choice out of love. Number E, and it puts it, who's responsible for holding the family together, according to that verse, Clive?
Man.
Yep. Number E.
Man was?
Man was responsible. I'm just saying, who's responsible? It says, and he would cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so he's holding it together. He's responsible. Now they both need to carry their weight. Boy, the man's got to work extra hard. Number E, man was to reproduce himself. Reproduce himself and populate the earth with his kind. The world already was full of birds and cattle and animals and insects. And God said, I want you to fill it up now. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Man was F to enjoy all the fruits of the various trees, except one.
Man was to enjoy.
Enjoy. 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
I'm not the devil, Lord.
Not the devil, all right. Number G.
Devil only is clean.
Man, it actually wasn't the devil's. God made that tree. Now here's a great truth.
Yeah, I would be obedient, like.
It's kind of unusual.
Yeah.
God made I don't know how many trees, okay? And so as he made these trees were each one of them had different fruits, obviously.
Yeah.
And they could eat fruit from any of the trees. But it says that God planted every one of them, including the tree that would give the knowledge good and evil. Now, somebody says, somebody gets the idea that, well, the fruit was poisoned. No, the fruit wasn't poisoned. All of them, as a matter of fact, Satan did not lie when he said, this fruit will not kill you. The fruit wouldn't. That's a half lie. So I'm going to go ahead and ask the question. What actually killed them?
The knowledge of evil.
No. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this. When he put that in there, they were not ready to eat it. God already knows good and evil, doesn't he?
Good and evil.
God knows good and evil.
Yeah.
He is not evil, but he knows good and evil. Adam and Eve, as they grow up, they would one day be able to handle what good and evil is. Yeah. But what killed them? The day that you eat thereof, not the eating kills you, not the fruit doesn't kill you, but the disobedience.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Good. So you understand. But there are people who say... I challenge everybody always, and sometimes it's very obvious, but sometimes I want you to think, you go, yeah, the fruit wasn't poisoned, because some Sunday school books will say, it has this purple fruit or this dark fruit, don't eat that fruit. It's poison. No. It was good looking. It was juicy. It was like a mango. It was gorgeous flavor. But that's not what poisoned their soul. It was thinking you could live without God, disobeying God, thinking, I know better. That killed them. Okay? And that's the revelation that most people don't know. Most people have got such an airy-fairy view of the fall, they don't realize our greatest problem is we think we can live without God.
People don't want God. They want their own God.
That's right. That's right. And they want to know everything they can about evil.
whatever that happened.
But they want all the benefits.
Yeah, they do. Sorry? Keep going, Colin.
That's the start of our free will. That's where that was like the ignition switch for free will.
Yeah. And they already had free will. They already had. That's why he said the day...
They would have had free will, but didn't have anything to choose from.
Exactly. Now you're saying it correctly. They had free will, but no test.
Yeah.
All right? It'd be like a monorail train. You go from A to B, there's no other place to go, okay? But all of a sudden, the track splits and they get to choose which one you're going to take. And at that point, free will acts, but they already had free will.
And ultimately, God just wants everybody to choose him and to make that choice.
To come back, like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Like the sheep that's out in the field, the shepherd goes out there and he needs the sheep to pop up and go, I'm over here, save me. So, all right. So of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, it's the very fact that they disobeyed and ate thereof, thou shalt surely die. Or Genesis 2:17. All right, just a few more thoughts here. Now, man's tragic sin and fall. So because of Adam's fall, God has a lot of new expectations of us. Wouldn't it be nice if we were back in the garden? I mean, what did God expect? What a glorious man. It just had kids. There was no pain in childbirth. There was no sin. There was just pruning the trees. There's just walking in the garden, talking with God. There's just joy. There's safety. There was no predators. It was perfect. Well, since sin has come in, God has some expectations now that says, you know what? Unless you want to be sucked in and destroyed early, you're going to have to live differently than free to sin. So, let's talk about man's tragic fall, the temptation that led to the fall. And it was a big temptation. All right? We think that it was just a simple temptation, but it was the temptation that all people go through. All right? So, number one, according to Genesis 3:1, Satan, and here's your fill-in, working through the serpent.
Oh, God. Satan.
Working through the serpent. He enticed Eve. He tricked and lured Eve to disobey God and to partake of the forbidden fruit. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. So was the serpent created by God?
Yes.
Yes.
It
Jeez. And he, now, what's unusual about this serpent? Number one, he talks. He's the only animal that talks. There's only one other animal that talks in the Bible. Who's the other animal besides man?
Donkey.
The donkey, all right. All other animals don't talk, okay? But this one talks, so no wonder Eve is mesmerized. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, when you put God's commandment into a question, what are you doing? What do you think, Edward? When you put God's commandment and make it a question, what are you doing?
Tempting God.
Not tempting God, but you are twisting the word of God so that people question God. All right? Like we'll say, all life is precious. That's why we don't have euthanasia. That's why we're not for abortion. That's why we try to save people, not murder them. But somebody will say, is all life precious? What about life that is born and it's deformed and it's going to die 30 minutes after being born? Is that life precious? And I say, yes. But they'll turn that statement into a question. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is really all life precious? All right, so.
Pastor, can I just ask you something there?
Yes, sir.
You said there in Genesis 3:1, Satan working through the serpent.
Yes.
Is the serpent not Satan himself?
I don't believe so. I believe that because I'll show you where God judges the serpent and he judges Satan.
But if you go to Revelation 22, it says,
yes.
And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
Yes.
So was he not the serpent?
Okay. Let me help you. Go to Genesis, and I'll show you why he can't be. And look at this. And then you'll understand he's dealing with a literal physical serpent. Here.
Genesis?
We're going to Genesis chapter 3. Satan indwells different people. Remember, it says Satan entered into Judas. Correct?
So he's a spirit.
The spirit.
So Satan is a spirit. He's a spiritual being, yes. But Judas was a real living being.
So Satan isn't actually a physical person, or isn't a physical...
Nope, he's not. But he will appear as an angel of light. He'll appear any way he wants. Here, he indwelt, he possessed a serpent and gave him the ability to speak. So Genesis chapter 3, when God judges the serpent, watch how God judges him, and it can apply to Satan.
What number is Pastor?
I'm in Genesis chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse.
And God said to the woman, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, let's pretend like it's the devil. Let's do that. And the Lord God said unto the devil, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That doesn't work, does it? Satan is not bound to this earth, and he's not eating dust. So he's speaking to a real serpent that was able to walk and talk, and got judged.
Why?
Sorry, go ahead.
Stupid question. But why would he curse an innocent animal that was possessed by Satan?
I'm not sure I can answer that in a short phrase. I will say this.
You were cursed now because you let Satan enter into you and do X, Y, and Z.
I know. I need you to go to... I have it in here. Give me the cross-reference. Isaiah 65. It's actually... All right, go down into the trial that followed the fall. I don't know if I... we may have to review some of this tomorrow. We're going to get ready to stop here. The trial that followed the fall. So that's the next page, page 15, number 1. Mm. We're going to watch the judgment upon the serpent. That's your fill-in. And it says, chapter 3, and verse 14, the Lord God says specifically to the serpent.
Judgment upon thee?
Upon the serpent.
Second one is upon...
No, the second one is upon Satan, but we're on number 1 right now.
Okay.
So, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Circle the next 3 words. Yeah. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. That's not the devil. Upon thy belly. Now, number B. Isaiah indicates that this judgment will continue to be binding upon the serpent even during the millennium. Isaiah 65 says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. So the serpent is going to be cursed forever. Now you say, why? I have a theory, but it would take too long. Okay, maybe I could say for next week, or you could just you know, decide for yourself. But he does judge. And let me say this. If I'm an accomplice, say, I'm here, I'm in my car, the guy gets in the car, I'm just waiting at a bank, whatever, and I'm just sitting there waiting for the light change. The guy sits down, he says, drive. And I go, what? I'll give you 500 euros, drive. Sure. And I drive off. I'm an accomplice, and this guy's a bank robber. I'm giving you an illustration of a bank robber. I'm just as guilty as he is, not knowing what he's done. So it's a little illustration of whatever Satan did to convince this serpent to yield to him does not negate the responsibility that serpent now has to pay. And that is a big deal, that when I yield to demonic influence of my life, even ignorant of his devices, I bear the brunt of it. Now, this serpent bears it forever. But that's God, and God did it, so I just leave it there, okay? Does that make sense?
It's the devil.
The serpent is a type of the devil.
Type of devil.
But here's a real serpent, because Satan gets judged next, which is what we're going to deal with next week. We'll go back. Let me just get down to this. Let me just finish this here. The transgression that caused the fall. Go back to B. Now, the woman responds back to the devil who said, yea, God said, you're not supposed to eat of every tree. And the woman said back unto the serpent. So she's talking to a snake on his, and I believe he's on his legs. I believe he's got legs at that point, and he's going to be cursed where he can't walk anymore. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, Eve makes two fatal mistakes. Number one, she adds to God's word. God did not say, neither shall you touch it. So all of these trees, God put Adam and Eve in there, and they were supposed to be tending to the trees, correct? So touching it was not the problem. What was the forbidden act? Eating it. Okay. So she says, oh, we're not even allowed to touch it. That's not what he said. Number B, then so she adds to the word of God, and then she takes away. She omitted the original command, thou shalt surely die. She forgot to say, and if we do, we will surely die. She just ignored that part. Because Genesis 2:17, God had said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So she has added and taken away, which is the unpardonable sin in Revelation. It's the sin of the death. Verse number 3 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall, what's the first one? Add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. So every word, Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure, he is a shield unto them that put his trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So, number 4, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it didn't look poisonous, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it didn't have big bumps and worms growing out of it, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, why would she think that by eating that tree it would make her wise? What do you think, Clive?
Cheating.
Hmm?
Cheated the woman.
Because the devil told her this.
You'll be like God. And she said, I like that.
You become God, so you don't do this. That's why he's saying, don't do this.
Well, isn't that true with kids? The one way to get a child to do something is tell them not to do it.
Eat your vegetables and make them grow big and strong. Oh, you're great.
It doesn't work. You have to use reverse psychology. But don't go into that room. Don't go in that room. And you know they're going to sneak into that room.
There's a monster
under
that bed. Don't go
over there. That's partly. Somebody, I read somebody took their little Echo Dot and they changed the little announcement. And I don't know how they programmed it or whatever. But they were saying goodnight. The kid says, there's monsters under the bed. No, there's not. There's no monsters under the bed, are there? And that was his announcement. No, we're not here at all. From under the bed. So that helped ruin everything, I'm sure. The point being this, okay? She's convinced that there is something secret that God's holding out. God's keeping back from her. Mm. And it'll make her smarter. Which is, man, the 60s in America was turned on to drugs because they thought it would open up new ways of thinking. And it did. And a freedom. And it was a lie. All right, we're going to stop there, and then we'll deal with how the judgment fell on everybody.
Which one stands about the trial that followed the fall, Pastor? Upon thee?
Where are you? The trial that followed, we just did number one, but we'll do it next week. Upon one, he is the serpent.
Upon the serpent.
The serpent, yes. God first judges. Well, he didn't first. He didn't first, but he does judge the serpent. Hmm?
A thought just occurred to me as we're reading that. Eve basically sinned before they sinned.
Before Adam sinned, that's right.
But, like, how did that happen? You know what I'm saying to you? I'm saying, like, if eating the fruit and disobeying with God, she already had a thought in her head that she wanted to disobey God.
Correct. But she was not responsible for the human race, the man was.
No, that's true. But basically, I know the devil, through Eve, walked on Adam and blah,
that's
blah,
it.
Blah.
That's
but
it.
If they were supposedly innocent and all that going on before they ate the fruit and
right.
disobeyed God, how did that sin come into her mind if she was innocent? Is it?
We think that sin came into her mind. It didn't. The choice came in. And by choosing, it's like
she chose sin.
She chose sin, and then sin entered.
Yeah,
but sin didn't come into her heart first.
But she was tempted, and
but Jesus was tempted.
Yeah, I know. But
so temptation is not
Jesus.
Sin.
Was,
no, it doesn't matter. There's
acted,
no temptation
acted,
taking you.
This, she was tempted, but she acted on her temptation.
Yes, and that's where sin came in. Sin wasn't in her heart.
It's the thought of. It's the thought of.
It's
sin.
The decision it's to live it's without it's God. That was sin, and she experienced darkness. She experienced nakedness. She experienced shame. She experienced the judgment of God. And she should have died if there weren't two lambs that were brought out and took the place of them. And so, but sin wasn't in them. They were innocent.
Yeah.
But when she chose and made that choice, sin now had dominion over her.
It's a temptation. We are not able to overcome that.
We're not able to say it again?
They are not able to overcome the temptation by God's obedience.
Well, I disagree. They could have. I tell you what. If the reason why Satan came up and tempted Eve was because if he had talked to Adam, Adam says, hey, buddy, I've never seen you around this garden. I've seen every single Adam, every single animal, and you're new here, and you're talking, and you're telling me to go against God. Adam would have kicked him out of the garden. But, so Satan gets to Eve, tempts her, so that he can control and convince Adam to choose Eve and to choose to sin. Eve was deceived. Let's put it that way. That's what Paul says.
You eat that.
Adam made the choice, wife over God. And that ruined us all.
Look at the world today. The whole world today is ruined because women have gotten all the power and dominion over men. That's what happens.
I know. But we give it. We've got to hold up and say, you know, our families need us to do right, not just give in. Because the pressure is intense. And when you got a 20-year-old in college, he's a rabid dog looking for other dogs.
Sounds ridiculous. But if you go back to giving the vote to women was the worst thing. But that was men's suicide.
I know. I'm just telling you. We're going way back to the very beginning. And
but the modern era, you give the vote to women. And then
you've got split homes.
Well, the man is the head of the household. The man should go down and cast the